A few moments ago, we prayed together these words from Psalm 98. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. With his right hand and his holy arm, he has won for himself a victory. The Lord has made known his victory. His righteousness has he openly shown in the sight of the nations. And now I'd like you to hear the words from the prophet Joel. From Joel chapter 2, verse 21. Be not afraid, O land. Be glad and rejoice. Surely the Lord has done great things. Wow. The Lord has won himself a victory. It's his victory and not ours. We just finished a brutal election filled with many surprises. The outcome was not what the mainstream media, progressives, or the Democratic candidate expected at all. There were tears late in the evening when the tide went in the unexpected direction for many. So let me ask you this week, how is your peace? Uncertainty can lead to a shaking of your inner peace. People are looking for some assurance, some peace of mind that they can hold on to. When people feel out of control, they get angry. Easily they do things so that they can feel in control. Just turn on the TV and the news of what's going on in this country. Peace of mind is shaken. These are uncertain times. Is your peace shaken? So what do? Jesus had something to say to his disciples about uncertain and troubling times that would come to them. And I wholeheartedly believe that it can apply to us today, right now, and in the weeks to come. People saw their security in the temple. To them, it guaranteed the presence and protection of Almighty God. But Jesus says, no, the temple will be destroyed. Where's our security? Is it in the temple or in the God of the temple? Is our security in this building or in the one we worship in it, the Lord of all? Jesus warned that in difficult times, there would be deceivers who would be declaring themselves to be the Christ, the Messiah. In our own recent history, we can read of and remember people like the Reverend Sun Myung Moon, who declared himself to be divine and held marriages of hundreds, if not thousands, in Madison Square Garden, designed by himself. He was the matchmaker, and people gave all their savings to this mere man. You might remember Jimmy Jones, the founder of the People's Temple, and their mass suicide by drinking Kool-Aid in 1978. Let's not forget David Koresh and the Branch Davidians, who went to their death in a standoff near Waco, Texas in 1993. And you may not have heard about this guy, but not too long ago, there was a guy named Jose Luis de Jesus Miranda. He's not your typical minister. De Jesus, or Daddy, as his thousands of followers called him, does not merely pray to God. He says that he is God. He told a CNN interview in February of 2007, "The spirit that is in me is the same spirit that was in Jesus of Nazareth." Well, Jose died of a stroke in 2013, and he's still dead. Jesus said for us to watch out, to be aware that the time is coming that many will come in his name. And then there would come wars, earthquakes, famines, fearful events and great signs. But before these happens, there will be persecution and trials. And Jesus says that the faithful will need to be witnesses of his. He further cautions you to make up your mind not to worry beforehand, or how you defend yourself. He said, For I will give you words and a wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. Whatever the trial, whatever the circumstances, Jesus has got us covered. There's a military saying, got your six. Our veterans that I asked at the beginning of the service to identify themselves, you know what that means. You got 12 o'clock and you got 6 o'clock. If he's got your six, he's got your back. And that's what our Lord has. When the time of trial comes, those faithful in Christ will be given the words to speak the truth. The truth that no one will be able to take away or deny. That Jesus Christ is Lord, the way, the truth, and the life. John 14:6. Our Savior, our Lord, is reminding us that He is the one who is our peace. He's our comfort. He's our guide. And He's our protector. Believe in Him. And only in Him. And that means eternal life. My brothers and sisters in Christ, I pray that this will bring new and clearer meaning to the words from John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him may not perish, but have eternal life. Faith, belief in Him is everything and will conquer all things, even death. Jesus says in verse 19 of today's Holy Gospel, by your endurance you will gain your souls. Plainly put, by standing firm, you will gain life. Life eternal in Christ Jesus. He's our peace. He's our rock. And that never wavers. Faith in Him should also be unwavering. Jesus, our rock, our salvation, tells us that when times of the Gentiles is complete, and we are now in the time of the Gentiles, that certain signs will be evidence of His return. He said in Luke chapter 21, verses 25 to 28, there will be signs in the sun, the moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. Men will faint from terror, apprehensive of what's coming on the world. For the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Sun, moon, and stars, because of the roar and the fury of the sea, people will be afraid and won't know what to do. People will faint with fear. When these things begin to happen, Jesus tells us what to do and how to prepare. He says, stand up and lift your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. The dead cannot stand up, but the living stands up. And the living can lift their heads in righteousness, in joy of the truth. But when the water is rising, and it's full of hungry alligators, how do we stand up and lift our heads? I'm sure you could fill a whiteboard with answers that would come to your mind. Do what's right. Trust in Jesus. Hold on to your faith. How? What does this mean? Sometimes fear overwhelms. Jesus gives us a good idea of how we should be kingdom focused rather than earthly focused. Call it, if you will, the big picture for all eternity. We need to be careful, however. Don't be distracted. Don't spend your time feasting. Don't be too busy caught up with worldly things. Exactly. Don't worry about what you'll eat or drink or wear. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek a relationship with Jesus Christ. And be in conversation with Him. You know, I often tell folks when I meet with them, one of the most powerful prayers that anyone can pray is, help me, Jesus. From your heart, help me, Jesus. And just as powerful, thank you, Jesus. For as we are always ready to receive, we have to be ready to give thanks. If the way you make yourself feel better is with the stuff of this world, being fearful and selfish, in a shop till you drop mode, you won't be able to think straight. And when the day comes, you won't be ready. We need to be ready continually, to always be on the watch, to be in conversation with Christ. And if today is the day and now is the hour, are you ready to meet him? Without question? Answer honestly to yourself. It's easier said than done. So how? Well, the Apostle Peter said, we should live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 11 to 12. We ought to be living holy and godly lives. So ask yourself, and this is an important question, are we two different people? Are we at church one way and at home another? There might even be a third one in there. When you're with friends, your language and your actions might be totally ungodly. You know what? We need to all be consistent Christians 24/7. Yes, even while you're driving your car. You know what I'm talking about. American people like to speak with their hands. We need to ask Jesus to help us to be more like him, and you'd be amazed. So we look forward to the day of God, also known as the day of the Lord. That day will bring destruction of everything. And that shouldn't make us afraid, because Jesus, in keeping with his promise, will bring a new heaven and a new earth, the home where righteousness will reign, and there'll be no pain or death or weeping or gnashing of teeth. Since the very beginning, yes, all the way back to Genesis, God has been as good as his word. He has always kept his promises. Even when mankind could not hold up its end of the bargain. Peter, who learned at the feet of Jesus, and might be the one who learned more about being a disciple, he learned more about love and forgiveness than any of the apostles. He reminds us to be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. My friends, the love of Jesus Christ is the answer. As we prepare during these last days, for it's through his love we will only know peace. And it's that peace which will help us to endure all things with our eye on the real prize, which is resting for all eternity in Christ's loving presence. The choice is each one of ours. We can know peace through Jesus Christ or know no peace at all. Indeed, my friends, Jesus is the answer. The choice belongs to each one of us. Sam read the words from the Apostle Paul to the people of Thessalonica, and I'll close with these words. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with all of you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.